You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Kevin O'Malley to preview four races on Sunday. It's a decent day of action as well. We've got two National Hunt fixtures from Uttoxeter and Cartmel. Then we're on the level at Windsor, and there's a good card over in Ireland as well at the Curragh. The headline race there is, of course, the Pretty Polly Stakes. That is a Fillies Group 1. You'll hear every race live and in full on Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon in the company of Ollie Pimnott's Paddy Aspel and Lord John Budham. But first things first, we welcome to the podcast Mr. Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
I'm really well. I was in yesterday and it was a tough day's racing Friday, but we managed to get a few winners, hopefully a few today as well. And tomorrow's racing looks good as well, Sunday's racing, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely doesn't look too bad at all for a Sunday. Have you decompressed after Royal Ascot?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough Ascot punting-wise, but a profitable one I had. And after that, sometimes after the big festivals, I allow myself a few days just to work on other stuff and keep myself busy, but don't kind of get bogged down by a lot lesser racing, so to speak. So yeah, I've enjoyed a few days away from the punting and happy to get stuck back into it now.
Yeah, good stuff. As you say, obviously, talking about things getting bogged down, the ground did very much make it quite a difficult week for punting. There were it's certainly interesting angles in if you could find a horse that you thought would appreciate the cut, but not often that we get a Royal Ascot that is that wet.
Well, it's not just the rain. I mean, it's the volatile nature of the rain. It's just been it's been bucketing down in various places, and you just don't really know what you're going to get. Are you going to get properly deep ground or sloppy ground or tacky? You just don't really know what you're going to get a lot of the time. And quite often when it's like that, it pays just to sit it out and watch and see what happens, and with an eye to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the weather in Leeds still getting you down, Kev?
No.
No?
I know. It seems to be improving when I'm coming up now. But yeah, through the winter it was cold and wet pretty much every time I came up here, and I was starting to believe that I was bringing a bad omen on the city.
Good stuff. Looking ahead, of course, we've had a fairly quiet week in terms of news, Kev, so we'll have a little look ahead to a couple of big races coming in the early part of July, starting with the Eclipse, of course. A time test 2-1 favourite for this. My Dreamboat, who put in a really impressive performance at the Royal Meeting, 4-1. 6-1 Fascinating Rock. Highland Reel is 8-1 with Minding and New Bay, and then it's 10-1 bar those, but those 10-1 horses include the likes of Dovey, Galileo Gold and the Grey Gatsby. Not that I think we'll have all of those horses lining up, Kev, because what an incredible battle that would be. But there's certainly one or two there you think have probably had this race earmarked for a while.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think overall it could... I don't know whether the Gurkha's going to run here, but it'd be interesting if he was put into it. We don't have prices for him yet, but if he is put into it, he'd be an interesting runner, obviously. If Fascinating Rock comes over, he'll have a huge chance. But I can't help but feel that the fact that Time Test just... merrily sidestepped Royal Ascot, could just stand to him, you know. And at the end of the day, he was a hugely impressive winner at Sandown last time out over the course and distance. And I just think if he builds on that, given that he was given a penalty away to a very fit Western him first time out, if he can build on that, I think he's going to win the Eclipse. I can really see him being quite impressive that day, coming of age, so to speak. I think he's top class, and I think the Eclipse will be his day to show how good he is.
Yeah, it's worth paying attention, as you said there, of horses who perhaps duck certain targets that they could have gone for to wholly concentrate on another race. It seems like it's less of an afterthought for those horses, and you feel that their whole programme has been tailored around this day.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, he just fits the bill, doesn't he? I mean, My Dreamboat is progressive and was impressive at Ascot, but you don't know how well he's going to need to improve again, I think, to get on terms with Time Test. And as you know, as we all know, what Fascinating Rock is a Champion Stakes winner. He's a top class horse as well, and I think it could just be between the two of those.
Yeah. Okay, then. Just 6 days later as well, of course, we've got the Falmouth Stakes, which Usherette is the 4-5 favourite for this. Minding again, 6-1. Kimar, 6-1. Seven's about Numeralia. Avedia is 9-1. It's 12-1 or bigger the rest. Again, we seem to have a crop of decent-looking fillies again.
We do, yeah. Usherette was very, very impressive at Ascot. She was very professional the way she found for pressure. But I can't help but feel... I was looking at the prices there. I mean, Always Smile finished third to Usherette in the Duke of Cambridge, and I'm a big, big fan of Always Smile. I think the ground went against her there, and I think if Newmarket can get a little bit of sunshine on the track between now and the July meeting, I think Always Smile will bridge that gap. She was very well back to beat Usherette at Royal Ascot, and she's 16-1 with William Hill for the Falmouth Stakes. Always Smile. I don't think there's a great deal between them. Certainly not as much as 16-1 and 4-5 suggests. And I think even though Usherette beat her comfortably enough at Ascot, she was always just pedalling through pretty soft ground. And I think Always Smile, if it comes up a lot faster than that at in the July meeting, which probably will, I think she's definitely the value if Godolphin again choose to run two of their fillies in the race.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd like to hope that it's gonna be faster than that. Although, having said that, we've probably said that in May about the Royal meeting.
What is it around whenever we get to kind of Glastonbury or Wimbledon? It just seems to attract rain to the British Isles.
Yeah,
it's a bit strange, but yeah, that's just the reality of living in this great place.
Indeed, the July Cup as well, and also comes up that weekend. Twilight Sun 9-2, Magical Memory 5-1, Quiet Reflection 8-1. It's Tens Bar, but certainly those. Those three, the head of affairs, have all have worked wonders in their own right this season already. Three very exciting horses towards the head of that market.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the top two in the market, Twilight Sun and Magical Memory, obviously set a fair benchmark. Limato as well, stepping back in trip. You could see him being quite difficult to beat if he's on a going day. Quiet Reflection, will she run? If she does, I think she's the winner. I think she's a tremendous filly, but it's just whether or not she runs. But it'd be great to see her perform again. I think she's an absolute cracker. And then further down, you've got the likes of Danzino at 16-1 with William Hill. I think he's another one who will not just keep them honest, but he's a top-class sprinter in his own right. And as we know with these sprinters, they all have their day in the sun. So just looking down the list, if I was to pick out one that some people probably wouldn't pay much attention to, it might be Danzino for a little bit of value.
Yeah, 16-1 about Danzino. Interesting, you mentioned Limato there. He's in the betting at 10-1. See, one of those horses, Kev, where absolutely everything needs to go right. And if it does, we see fireworks. But he seems to need a lot going in his favour.
Yeah. I mean, they've been experimental with him, haven't they? They've raced him over 6 furlongs, over 7 furlongs. He won at Doncaster last year. Then he went to Longchamp, obviously, and finished second there in the pre-foray behind Make Believe. Ran a cracker there and wasn't seen then until finishing a fair fourth in the lock engine. And, you know, he acquitted himself well there in what was a pretty good Group 1 over a mile. But I just think he's all speed. But he is a horse with an awful lot of class. And if he puts it all together on any given day, he's capable of winning a Group 1 race. So I think it's the logical next step for him to step back and trip and see what he's made of against somebody's good sprinters. There's a good crop of them at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Elsewhere this week, then, Hayley Turner's confirmed that she is going to be back riding on Sugar Cup Day. Sylvester D'Souza has been slapped with an 18-day ban for various whip offences over the last 6 months. You can tell it's been a little bit of a slow news week when we're talking about the whip once again. Feels like we've had this conversation.
I should imagine that the price of Ryan Moore to win the Jockeys Championship has contracted a bit. We should have had a look to see what that is, but I'm sure he's come in a bit with Sylvester having a whip ban. As for Hayley coming back, I think there's lots of female talent there that could have taken a place, but I think it's more the apprentice angle that the Ascot weren't too keen to have a professional lady jockeys on board. Slow news week.
Yeah, indeed. SDS, by the way, 4-7 still for the jockey title. Ryan Moore 7-4, and it's tens by that too. I guess there won't be much in it. Yeah,
there won't be much in it. I mean, Ryan Moore's just
is the issue that Ryan Moore's just not here enough.
He's just a bit nonchalant about everything, isn't he? He just takes things in his stride. I think he's very much a big rider for the big day, isn't he? I don't know if travelling around the place for spare rides and things like that is really his thing anymore.
No.
And why should it be? He rides the best horses in the planet,
yeah,
in the best races. So I still think there won't be much in it, though. Okay. You know, he gets, you know, he rides all of O'Brien's, obviously gets all of Stout's rides as well. So yeah, there won't be much in it come the finish.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there is a case where he's at a meeting and connections need a jockey, he'd pretty much be first on the list, wouldn't he?
So, yeah, of course.
So when the spare rides do come like that, he probably gets them first. Yeah. First out of everyone. Even if SDS was at the meeting as well, you'd imagine connections would probably favour Ryan Moore.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think there'd be much in it come the finish.
Okay, let's move on then to take a look at Sunday's action now. It's a good day of racing on Sunday, as we mentioned. We're going to look at one from Uttoxeter, one from Windsor, and two from the Curragh. But we begin with a bit of jumping action at Uttoxeter. This is the John Smith Summer Cup coming up at 3:30. A listed handicap chase for us to get stuck into here. At 3 miles and 2 furlongs is the trip for 20 runners here. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into. Kev, what do you make of this bunch?
It's a really good race, isn't it, considering the time of year? And the fact that Menorah, he's rated 164, Menorah, and he's carrying top weight here, and he brings an awful lot of very good horses into the equation off very low weight. So that kind of sets the tone for the race, so to speak. David Pipe's Catco has progressed really well. He was a smart hurdler in his day, and he's progressed nicely. He's gone up £7 for his win around here last time out, so it's not going to be any easier for him off a mark of 150 now, but he is respected. I think this race is set up well for Pasha the Polder. He's obviously best known for his association with Victoria Pendleton. He's a high-class hunter-chaser, but he's a formidable chaser in his own right, period. And despite being £2 out of the handicap, he does have a really nice low weight here. I can imagine him jumping and travelling really strongly throughout the race and just being brought into it nicely under Sam Twist and Davis. And if he's within touching distance with a couple to go, I can see him going really, really close, Pasha the Polder. He flopped at Aintree after his cracking run at Cheltenham, but he returned to form at Stratford last time out, and I think he could be the value here.
Okay, Pasha the Polder then in that race for Kev. We go to Windsor now then for their 4:15. This is a handicap over a mile. 7 runners go down to contest this Class 2, and a couple bring a bit of interesting form to the table.
Yeah, I mean, Birdman hasn't really built on his fourth in the Lincoln. He looks a little bit in the grip of the handicapper, but he is a good horse in his day, and he has the ability to run well. Grand Inquisitor ran well in the Victoria Cup, but a return to a mile on soft ground is the question mark for him. Felix Leiter, he's been in terrific form, hasn't he, of late, and he does handle soft ground, but again, he's stepping up to a mile, and he's going to have to answer that question. And he's a speedily bred son of Munsit Moswar Bond, so he looks a little bit vulnerable as well. So I was just looking at Montserrat. He's been a little bit frustrating of late. He's been second on 3 of his last 4 starts, but he does stay a mile and 2. And so I think a return to a mile trip here, having ran well over 10 furlongs last time out, and despite preferring better ground, I think his assured stamina could bring about a win here and a change in fortunes for him. So Montserrat for me in the 4:15.
Montserrat it is then in the Windsor 4:15 for Kev. We go to the Curragh now then to have a look at 2 races there on Sunday. And we begin with the feature race of the day, which is the 4:20. The Fillies Group 1 Pretty Polly Stakes. A mile and a quarter is the trip facing these 5 fillies that are down to contest it. Mining 2-9 at the head of affairs, Kev. Absolutely no surprise to see her so well fancied for this. Is there anything to take her on with?
There's some quality fillies there, but they're not going to beat her. Cora was second in the Middleton Stakes at York. She ran a really good race behind Beautiful Romance. She's progressing nicely. She's a late maturing type, as many of Kumani's are. But it's unlikely she has the ability in the streetwise at this stage to get on terms with Minding. But she's an interesting one, certainly for second place. You know, Speedy Boarding was Grade 2 winner last time out. Lucida's high class in her day, but she hasn't really progressed as expected. And she's stepping up in trips, so she has an awful lot on her plate. But this is the Minding show. You know, she's all class. Whatever happened in the Irish Guineas can be all forgotten about now. Mm. It's a testament to how tough and classy she is that she was able to get over that and perform as she did at Epsom, where, again, in running, she
met a bit of trouble in running, yeah.
A lot of adversity she had to overcome there. She had a treacherous run through, but she was just all class and all guts. And she stayed every inch of the mile and 4, but it was more her class. She stamped her class over the field, and I don't think the step back to mile and 2 here is going to trouble her at all. She's just an outstanding 3-year-old filly. Obviously, we want to see her tested against the males. We want to see her tested against older horses. I hope that she stays in one piece, and it'd be nice to see her stay in training next season as well. But to be honest, this is the Minding show. She's going to go and win it, and win it well.
Yeah, very difficult to get away from mining them for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the 5:25 at the Curragh. This is the Curragh Cup, a Group 2 event over a mile and six furlong. Given the prize money on offer, Kev, a fairly disappointing turnout. Just four of them going to post, the two Aidan O'Brien individuals. Dermot Weld sends one, and Tom Dascombe with a British raider involved. It might not be that much between the quartet, though.
There isn't, is there? I mean, as you say, what we essentially have here is a poor Group 2 race.
Yes.
Land of Hope and Glory was fourth in the Queen's Vase last time out. He was much more fancied than Swordfighter, but Swordfighter progressed on everything he's shown to date and was a tough and gutsy winner of the race. And he went off at 33-1, but he won it, you know, pretty well in the end. And I'm struggling to see how Land of Hope and Glory reverses that form, to be honest. Simro, I'm not sure he's going to get the trip. He's unexposed enough to suggest that he could run better than he did last time out. Alvina, she's a four-year-old filly. She's progressive, consistent, but I think she could be vulnerable given weight away to you know, improving three-year-olds. So I think it could pay to stick with the three-year-olds here. And I'm, even though Ryan Moore stays loyal to Land of Hope and Glory, I'm going to stick with Swordfighter to follow up his Ascot win.
Okay, Swordfighter then. It would be the third time in 4 years that Aidan O'Brien and Shamie Heffernan have teamed up to win this race after Ernest Hemingway in 2013 and Bondi Beach last year. But that's the choice of Kev in the 5:25. The Curragh, just give us a quick recap, please, of the four selections for the four races we've looked at on Sunday.
Yes, in the 3:30 at Uttoxeter, I'd like to see Pasha de Polder transfer his Hunter Chase form into this valuable handicap chase for Paul Nicholls. In the 4:15 at Windsor, Montserrat has a nice profile. I think he'll be able to put his use his stamina to good effect for Mark Johnston. In the 4:20, the Minding Show at the Curragh. I think she wins the Pretty Polly Stakes and wins it well. And the 5:25 at the Curragh, I think it'll be another winner for Aidan O'Brien in the shape of Swordfighter.
Okay, excellent stuff. Thank you very much. The thoughts of Kevin O'Malley there on Sunday's action. Thanks for that, Kev, and enjoy the racing.
Cheers, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon, where it's Ollie Pimlott, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. We've got racing at the Curragh, Uttoxeter, Windsor and Cartmel, so plenty to enjoy. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.